Good morning. It's good to be able to come together this morning to worship God, and it's good to be able to be with our brethren. We appreciate those who are visiting with us, and we're glad that we can be together this morning. And in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul makes a statement there that I would like for us to consider this morning by way of our encouragement and our admonition. When Paul is talking about coming there to Rome and preaching the gospel there, he says in chapter 1 in verse 15, "As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel." As much as in me is. He had a compulsion, a drive within him, and he was going to give everything that was inside of him to come and preach the gospel. I want to talk about that this morning in a lesson that I've entitled, Compulsion of Responsibility. What drives us? Do we have a drive in us to serve the Lord? Do we have a compulsion in us to serve the Lord? Or is it out of convenience or giving God the leftovers, or if I don't have anything better else to do, I might come and serve the Lord? Or is there an inward drive? Paul had a drive in him, as much as in me is. He was going to give every ounce of his being to serving the Lord. What about us this morning? That's a great example. And I want us to consider that this morning. A compulsion, a drive to serve the Lord, to love the Lord and to serve Him. When we speak of compulsion, we're talking about being compelled, driven. There's a force in us. And I'm not talking about the Star Wars force. I'm talking about an attitude of mind that wants us to give all to serve the Lord. We feel constrained. We feel coerced. Really, literally. A pressure on us to serve the Lord. And it's so irresistible that we will not let anything stand in the way. We're going to look this morning at two individuals that had that attitude, Jesus and Paul. And they are our example this morning in serving the Lord. We talk about needing to be like Jesus, following Jesus. Do we follow Him in this regard? We talk about Paul. He said, "Be imitators of me," 1 Corinthians 11:1. Do we follow Paul in this area of our life? I see so much of the opposite. You look, for example, today, many people doing all kinds of other things rather than worshiping God. And they could come and worship, they just choose not to. They don't have a drive. They don't have a compulsion. They don't have an inward must or necessity about them. It's just about other things of this life. And so we're going to talk this morning about looking to Jesus and looking at Paul. Jesus said, "I must," several times, and we're going to look at these passages. I must. That lets us know he was driven by a compulsion to serve the Lord. Paul said on more than one occasion, "Necessity is laid upon me." Not if I get around to doing it, or I may do it, or sometimes I feel like it, and sometimes necessity is laid upon me. That's another way of expressing his compulsion. And because it is lacking in many Christians, and we may be tempted ourselves, I wanted us to bring this lesson this morning to encourage us to have a drive in us to serve the Lord. Let's look first at Jesus. If you'll turn with me to the very beginning of his life in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, where it picks up after his birth. There's a period of time there after his birth that we don't know anything about the early life of Jesus. And then we pick up his life at age 12, and then we don't hear much about him until about age 30. But age 12, when his parents had been to Jerusalem worshiping God, and they leave and go off, and they leave their son, Jesus, there. And they come back looking for him, and they can't find him, and they eventually find him in the temple, and he's asked about why he's in the temple. And in Luke chapter 2, what did Jesus say to his mother and father? And this is interesting. He's saying this at age 12 now. If you have compulsion at age 12, you're doing pretty good. And if you keep that all the way through life, you can really serve the Lord. If we get it right early in life, wouldn't that be a great thing? He said unto them, Jesus said unto them, Luke 2:49, when they come back, verse 48, why have you dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought you sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Knew you not that I must be in my father's house? Underscore that. He wasn't accidentally there. He believed he must be there. He didn't just bump into the synagogue teaching. He must be there. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't because he was bored and didn't have anything else to do. He must be there. He was driven by compulsion. And at age 12, what a great thing. Are we driven by compulsion to come and worship God and serve God? He wasn't there. We find in verse 45 and verse 46, he was in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, hearing them and asking them questions. 12-year-old boy in the temple talking with old men about the Word of God, and he says, I must be there. He understood early on his role in life. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4 and verse 43, after he gets older and he's teaching and he's going about various places. The parallel account is in Mark 1:38. And when it was day, he came out and went into a desert place, verse 42, and the multitude sought after him and came unto him and would have stayed him that he should not go from them. But he said unto them, I must preach the good tidings of the kingdom of God to the other cities also. Why, Jesus? Well, I'm bored and I don't have anything else to do. No, he was driven by purpose. For therefore was I sent. I know my purpose in life. I understand my purpose in life. And that drives me and compels me to teach not only here, but also in other places. I can't stay here because I am compelled to go other places. That's my mission. That's why I was sent. But notice the compulsion. I must. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be driven by that same thing. If we're not, as we're going to see later in the lesson, we can become lazy. We can become indifferent. We can become lukewarm. We can drag our feet on serving the Lord. If we don't have a drive in us, or if we let our drive slowly wane away in life, there must be that drive. Turn with me to John chapter 9 and verse 4, when Jesus was healing on occasion with regard to the blind man there in Jerusalem, and he sends him to the pool of Siloam. And in John chapter 9, the disciples are wondering whether or not this man sinned or his parents. Jesus said, that's not the case, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I came across this man. Why? We must work the works of him that sent me. I am driven to do this because God wants me to work a miracle for this man. We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus understood that his life was limited on this earth. And he didn't just have endless amounts of days to work miracles. I have a set amount of time. The night is coming when I can no longer work. He's talking about the end of his life. So I must do it now. There's only so much daylight, right? And so let's get after it and let's get busy. And isn't that the case in our life? Do we not have a limited number of years? We're not just going to be on the earth forever. We have a limited amount of time. Knowing that, should we not be driven by compulsion to serve God to the best of our ability and have that drive? We must work. Why? Because the night is coming when I can't do that. Compulsion drives me on, knowing that I'm not going to have a time to do this forever. Turn with me to Luke chapter 13 and verse 33. Luke chapter 13 and verse 33, another occasion in which Jesus says that I must. With regard to Herod and what he says. Luke chapter 13 and verse 31, the Pharisees came saying to him, get out of here and go from here, for Herod would fain kill thee. Run! He said unto them, go and say to that fox, Jesus understood Herod's wily character and his deceitful and wily character and disposition. Jesus understood that. He calls him a fox. "Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I'm perfected. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." I'm going to leave, but it's not because I'm scared of Herod and y'all are telling me to leave. I'm going to go, that's right, because I'm going to Jerusalem to die on the cross, and that's what I must do. He understood his purpose and role in life. Are we driven by anything, or do we drift? There's a difference between being driven and drifting. Do we drift? Maybe some days we serve the Lord, maybe some days we don't. Maybe some days we're interested in doing the Lord's work and other days we're not. Are we driven or are we drifting? Let's be like Jesus and be driven by compulsion. We get up each day, I must do this for the Lord. And then Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, there are other parallel accounts there that you can see. But Jesus understood that he was to go to the cross. Jesus didn't just accidentally bump into the cross. Jesus didn't just accidentally take a wrong turn and go down the road of the cross. It was a driven purpose and plan. And he had a compulsion to go there. And so in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, "From that time began Jesus to show unto his disciples, he must go into Jerusalem." Part of that is to fulfill prophecy. Part of that is to do God's will. Part of that is to fulfill this drive that was in Jesus. But Jesus didn't go to the cross on accident. It was, he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and the third day be raised up. But here's the point that I want us to consider. Look at verse 22. When you have a compulsion to serve the Lord, no one, including those close to you, are going to stand in the way to serving the Lord. So Peter stands up and took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be far from it, thee, Lord, this shall never be." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art a stumbling block unto me. For thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men." When I'm doing what God wants, I have a compulsion to finish that. You are just thinking about what you want. You're in my way. Get out of the way. I have a drive. When we have a drive and a compulsion, nothing is going to stand in our way to serving the Lord. He must go to Jerusalem. We need to think about Jesus from his early life all the way through as someone who was driven with a purpose. Are you driven? Am I driven? Or is it more of a drifting? Or we might accidentally bump into doing something good, but then other times we might not. We have to be on a course, know what our course is, and be driven to fulfill that. You know, Jesus was not the only one. Paul is our example. In the life of Paul, he uses this phrase, necessity. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13 and verse 46. This is another word in the New Testament that carries the idea of compulsion and drive. Do we have that? So many people today, it's just sort of a mindless wandering. Each day is a big question mark as to what they're going to do or how they're going to live and what they're going to believe. It's just all over. Or do we have a moral compass that points us in the direction of serving God? God's word guides us each day, and we must fulfill that. Or of necessity, we must do that. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, when he was talking about his preaching there in Antioch, Paul and Barnabas, they spake out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you." Underscore that in your Bible. It was necessary. Why, Paul? Because he was called to preach the gospel. He wasn't there on vacation and then just had a little free time and just coincidentally a sermon was given. He was there on purpose. It was necessary that I preach the word of God to you. We need to say of church services, it is necessary that I be here. I must be here. we should say, of reading our Bible and praying and talking with others and obeying the gospel. It was necessary that I do this. So Jesus said, I must. Paul said, of necessity, it is necessary. We need to have these dispositions in our life. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 with regard to Paul's attitude toward preaching. It wasn't just a matter of, well, there's nothing else I can do, so I'm going to try it, or I'm just sort of, I may or may not. He was driven by compulsion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he's talking about this matter of preaching to Jews and Gentiles. And notice what he says there in chapter 9 and verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. When and where and how did that happen? When he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he goes into Damascus and he's baptized into Christ, he was called from that point onward to preach the gospel. We don't have that kind of calling today. Paul, that was different, a little bit different for him. That was a personal word from Jesus to do that. And in fulfilling that, he says, necessity is laid upon me. He was driven. So look at the very next statement. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. He was compelled, and if he couldn't do it, then woe, this is terrible that I can't. Turn with me to the scripture reading then this morning. That's why he says, as much as in me is. But turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, our scripture reading, in that there's some other statements here that show the same thing. Look at what Paul says in Romans 1:14. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians. The word barbarian there in the English, you think of a barbarian, you know, maybe like a caveman barbarian, or someone, you know, who's just rough and he's, you know, maybe got this big old club or something. That's not how Paul was using it. In the Roman world of this day, when you said barbarian, that was anybody that was not a Greek. A non-Greek was a barbarian. It literally meant the way they spoke. They spoke in a way that is different from us, barbar, so we have barbarian. They're speaking in a way that's different than we speak, and so it was used in that way, just a non-Greek. It doesn't mean someone who, you know, is on a marauding, you know, horde of barbarians that come and burn a village, and, you know, it's anybody that's not a Greek. But notice what he says in verse 4, I am a debtor. Look at it. When you're driven by compulsion, you say, I'm indebted to you. I'm indebted to come talk with you. I'm indebted to work with you. You feel indebted. When someone feels indebted to somebody else, are they really driven to work with them? Absolutely. If you're indebted with a loan to the bank, you're supposed to be pretty urgent there about, you know, paying back that money. When you're indebted, it means that you are striving as hard as you can to do such and such. And so he was indebted to these lost people. We don't talk with others about the gospel until we really realize that we're indebted to take the gospel and try to save them. So that's the first statement he makes. The second statement he makes is, as much as in me is. I'm not going to leave anything left over for Paul. All of it goes to Jesus. And we talked about this last Sunday in our lesson about completely giving up self. As much as in me is. There's a compulsion. There is a drive there. And then the third statement he makes is, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also that are at Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. When we're not ashamed, then we are driven to serve and obey the Lord. But if we're ashamed in some way, then we hold back and we reserve and we don't do what we need to do. Paul was driven by a compulsion. Necessity. Necessity is laid. And that's the way we need to handle life. I must, and necessity. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. There's a couple of passages there where Paul talks about himself and the other apostles and their drive. This is a context, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4. This is a context where Paul is talking about how the apostles were persecuted. but in everything, commending ourselves as ministers of God. He's talking about himself and the other apostles. Now look at some of the things they had to go through. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities. The older versions say in necessities. Some of the newer versions say in hardships. That's fine, but the root word literally means that which is by compulsion. I do things by compulsion and it leads to hardships. But the literal meaning is a necessity or a compulsion. In distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. And we know from the book of Acts he was stoned and left half dead in Derbe. Remember that? And imprisoned and shipwrecked. Paul and the other apostles went through a lot of terrible things. Why did they go through those things? Why do we do that? Because it's a necessity laid upon me. I'm not going to get out of it anytime I can get out of it. I'm not going to try to avoid problems as a Christian. I know that as a Christian, this is something that I'm going to have to go through. And Paul was willing to do that. A lesser person would have just gotten out. Well, I don't want to go through these hardships. But because of necessity and compulsion, I keep pressing on. Turn with me to chapter 12 and verse 10. Paul talks about how that he's willing to undergo difficult things for the cause of Christ. And one of them had to do with a thorn in the flesh, probably some physical problem, ailment or problem in his life. And look at what he says about this matter. Chapter 12, verse 9. He hath said unto me, when he prayed to God about this matter, my grace is sufficient for thee, my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, and some of that's going to include bodily infirmity, this thorn in the flesh, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore, I take pleasure in weaknesses, even though I have this physical problem and all of these persecutions, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Why did Paul undergo these kinds of things? Because he knows in there that these things, verse 10, are necessary. That is what it means to be an apostle. That's what it means to be a preacher. That's what it means to be a Christian. It is a compulsion, a necessity that I go through these things. That's what drove Paul. And look at what we have as a result, the different churches that he established, the different letters that he wrote. Why? Because he was driven by compulsion. And then finally, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 24. Philippians 1, 24. Paul had an opportunity to be let out of prison. This book is being written from a Roman prison. And when he gets out, what does he want to do? He doesn't want to take a vacation. He doesn't want to go and just take some time off for himself. I've been in prison. I want to take a little time off for myself and recoup from that. What does he want to do if he gets out of prison? Verse 24, yet to abide, if I can get out of prison and live on a little bit longer, yet to abide in the flesh is more needful for your sake. It's the same Greek word that means compulsion. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and abide with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. I can come back and work with you, good brethren. It's needful. That's what drove Jesus. That's what drove Paul. Why did they have a sense of compulsion? They both had a strong desire to do the Father's will. And that's our lesson for this morning. Let us have a strong desire to do the Father's will. We want to save mankind. We want to save our families. We want to save others. And let us be driven by that. They both had a desire to fill the greatest need in the world, and that is salvation from sin. That's why we talk with our friends and neighbors. That's why we live the lives that we live and try to be faithful. We're driven by this compulsion to love God and do His will and to help mankind with their greatest problem, salvation from sin. If we will be driven by compulsion, we will redeem every waking moment that we have. Turn with me to Psalm 90 and verse 12. We won't waste time. We will take each waking moment and use it in service to God in some way. Our time is limited. And the psalmist says in chapter 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. We're not going to be here forever. And knowing that we're limited in our time, let us get a heart of wisdom and let us be driven to serve the Lord. Paul says, redeeming the time. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, redeeming the time. Literally, buy up the opportunity. If we're driven by compulsion, we're going to use every moment that we can to the best of our ability in serving God. Number two, if we're driven by compulsion, we won't have any fear or we won't make excuses. Sometimes we might not do what we need to do. Well, I'm fearful. What about the one talent man in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 25? Well, I was fearful and I went and buried it in the ground and I didn't want to go do anything with that. If we're driven by compulsion, there is no fear. We just march forward and do what we need to do. No excuse making. When Paul preached to Felix in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, the scripture says that he was terrified. You know why? Paul preached hellfire and brimstone. He preached righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. And we need to preach like that. The text says that Felix was terrified, but he said, go thy way. When I have a convenient season, I will come. He wasn't driven by compulsion. He was like, I may or may not get to it. And so we start making excuses and we start putting it off. There's no drive there. Other places in the book of Acts, some would say, men and brethren, what must we do? We got to do something right now. But Felix is like, well, you know, whatever. There's no drive there for him. And we don't know if he ever obeyed the gospel. Look at Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. What did Agrippa say? Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. I'm almost there. Well, if you had a drive to serve the Lord, you wouldn't be almost, you'd be all the way. See, what it does is, it keeps us from having excuses and fear and saying, well, I don't want to proceed further in what I need to do. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7 that love casts out fear. If we really love the Lord, we're going to press on and have a drive in us to serve God, and we're not going to be fearful of this and fearful of that. We're not going to be making excuses. Jesus, Paul, they were not stopped by fear and excuse making. Look at Revelation 21 and verse 8. Who are going to be those who burn eternally in hell? You stop and think about that. I didn't make the list. John did in Revelation 21, 8. And when you think of those who burn eternally in hell, you think of course, the devil and his angels and the most gross, immoral people that you can think of in the world. They're going to be there. But who heads the list? In Revelation 21:8, the cowardly and the fearful. I just didn't want to do what I know that I need to do. That's why we need compulsion. That's why we need a drive to make that step. But those who are cowardly, those who are fearful and timid and holding back and excuse making and never do it, well, I can't do it this and I can't do that. They end up with that terrible lot of hellfire and brimstone. We've got to have compulsion and drive, or we'll find these things in our life. Number three, it helps us to avoid laziness. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, the church at Sardis had a name that they were living, but they were dead. There's no drive in that church. They had a name. People knew that they were there, but they were dead inside. There's no life there. There's no drive there. There's just an outward shell, maybe a meeting place, maybe a sign on the door, but inside they're dead. And so if we don't have compulsion and drive, we can find ourselves in that same situation where we just don't want to grow and do anything anymore. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16, the church at Laodicea, not far away in the same area there of Asia Minor, they were lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold, you know. We're not completely dead. We're not completely on fire for the Lord. We're just sort of in the middle, you see. And the Lord said, if you stay that way, I'll just spew you out of your mouth, because who likes to drink a lukewarm drink? We either like hot coffee, hot tea, or some cold drink, but we don't like it just sort of in between. And compulsion will cause us to take every waking moment and use it for the Lord's service. It'll eliminate fear and excuses. It'll help us to avoid laziness or just keeping sort of a shell of Christianity. And last of all, it will produce the zeal in us for personally making changes that we need to make personally, or maybe even with our family or with a congregation, but we will have zeal. Turn with me and let's remind ourselves of Phinehas in Numbers chapter 24. Can you imagine God's people going through the wilderness and they come to a place where they are influenced by the world around them to be engaged in idolatry and sexual immorality? The people, verse 1, began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab. That means sexual immorality, idolatry. And people are doing this, and it's not far from the tabernacle. And a man, verse 6, brought a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses now, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, for they were weeping at the door of the tent of meeting. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from the midst of the congregation. He has compulsion. This is what we're getting at. He's got drive. He didn't say, oh, that man is over there fornicating. Well, what can you do, you know? I don't really like it personally, but I'm not going to get involved. He picked up a spear and goes over there and throws it between both of them. We need drive like that, brother. What happens is the devil gets us to cool off and calm down on things like that, and we just don't do what we need to do. He took a spear in his hand, verse 7, and he went after the man of Israel into the pavilion or the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. God had sent out a plague among them because his fierce anger, verse 3 and 4. And what stopped it? Compulsion and drive. Where is that spear? Give me that spear. Today it would be like, well, we shouldn't get involved, and that's not my place, and, you know, I don't know if I can do that. He just acted upon a zeal to serve the Lord. And in the book of Psalms, he's actually mentioned there again, which is amazing. I believe it's Psalm 106, verse 31, his zeal. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 16. What is Jehu known for? What is Jehu known for in 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 16? He's known for killing the prophets of Baal. And he said, come with me and see my zeal for Jehovah. 2 Kings 10, 16. He was driven by a compulsion to eradicate idolatry from Israel. Are we driven by compulsion, or do we just bump into maybe serving the God or serving God or just maybe accidentally doing something that's right? Or are we driven, purpose driven? Look at John 2 and verse 17. Why did Jesus cleanse the temple? He was bored, didn't have anything to do that day, and just kind of wanted to make a little ruckus in John 2:17. No, zeal for my house hath eaten me up. He made that scourge of cords. He overturned the money changers' tables. He drove out the cattle because they were making the temple a place of merchandise instead of a house of worship and prayer. But why did he do it? Zeal for my house hath eaten me up. That's Psalm 69:9. That's why he did it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 11, why did the Corinthian brethren get sin out of their life? They had been harboring the fornicating brother, 1 Corinthians 5, 1. Paul writes to them about that. They decide to get out of that sin. Why did they do it? 2 Corinthians 7, 11. Zeal, among some other things. We have to have a drive or a compulsion to eradicate sin from our own life, or it'll just stay there and fester and foam and ferment and grow, and then we find that we're far from the Lord. And then Titus 2:14, Jesus died on the cross so that we can be zealous of good works. Compulsion is what allows these very things. Well, as we close this morning, I want us to consider that it's not like Samuel. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, he said, Samuel, you weren't here. This is Saul. He's fighting the Philistines. He wants to offer up a sacrifice to God so that he can win this battle with the Philistines. And he said, Samuel, I didn't think you were coming, so I forced myself and I offered up this sacrifice. No, we don't need that kind of compulsion where we're doing something subjectively on what we think or feel. Neither does it need to be something that is put on us externally. Well, mom and dad want me to do this. You know, the preacher wants me to do this. The elders want me to do this. This is what somebody else wants. No, I need to do it because I need to do it. I want to do it. Look at Luke 23:26. Why did Simon of Cyrene carry Jesus' cross? Why did he carry Jesus' cross? That was a great thing that he did. But why did he do it? Because the Romans made him do it. Okay. One account says they compelled him. The Greek word means forced service. When a Roman soldier comes up to you and says, you are going to carry this, you do it or you die. So that's great what Simon of Cyrene did, but it was forced service. We need to be driven, but it doesn't need to be from some internal subjective I think or feel. It doesn't need to come from the outside where we're always being pressured. Now, I believe that there's a time and place, especially with parents and children, where you are molding them and making them early in life, and you make them do things. You're trying to develop good character and habit in them. But in time, they need to be out on their own, being driven themselves, not just because there's always this outside voice. And then, look at Luke 14. Here is a must, but it's in the wrong way. Here is someone who's just trying to get out of service and he's offering up excuses. I have bought a field and I must needs go out. Well, yeah, not really. I really need to go do this. No, this is simply an excuse for not obeying the gospel. So I must go out and see to this field. I must go out and try out these oxen, you see. There's some people who have a drive, but it's really a drive in the opposite direction to get away from doing what God wants them to do. The lesson is yours. Our compulsion to serve Christ should be voluntary, like Jesus and Paul, based upon a strong desire to do the Father's will and to fill the world's need in saving them from the gospel. Let us have that compulsion. And maybe this morning that drive compels you to come and obey the gospel. There may be someone here this morning that needs to respond, repenting and being baptized into Christ. There may be someone who needs to come back in some way and say that I want to live a better life. But we all need to be driven. Will you be driven this morning? When we sing this song of invitation, will it drive you and compel you to come and do what you need to do? Let us know what we can do to help you. As we walk out the door in just a moment, will we have a drive the rest of this week and a compulsion saying, I must, or of necessity, this is the way I need to live for the Lord? Let us be compelled. Let us be driven, not drifting, but driven to do what God wants us to do, using Jesus and Paul as our example. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?